Hello, everyone, and welcome to JBFC Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jupin, and in this episode, you're going to hear a conversation I got to have with our JBFC composer in residence, Lucio Gregoretti. Lucio was on hand for a screening of the Lena Wertmüller film Francesca and Nunziata a couple weeks back, a film which he did the music for. He's composed music for approximately 100 plays and films, working with such directors as Carlo Lozzani, Margareta von Trotta, and, as mentioned before, Lena Wertmüller. Some background on Lena herself. Very prolific director in the late 60s and into the 70s. She directed such films as The Lizards, Swept Away, A Night Full of Rain, Blood Feud, and most famously, Seven Beauties, a film that she received an Oscar nomination for Best Director, making her the first female director in history to be nominated for an Oscar. And an honor she shares with only three other directors, Jane Campion, Sofia Coppola, and Catherine Bigelow, who of course won the Oscar for directing The Hurt Locker. Francesca Nunziata was an incredibly hard film for us to track down here at the Burns, which sometimes is the case for older films and especially older foreign films. And this film didn't receive any kind of U.S. distribution. It was actually a film that was made for Italian television, which makes it all the more difficult to track down, but we were able to find a source with English subtitles. It was actually kind of an emotional screening for him. He had not seen the film since it was initially released back in 2001, which is insane that that seems so long ago already. But it was a really nice experience for him. We had a great conversation afterward, just him sharing his memories of working on the film and his friendship with Lena Wertmüller. That's it for now for me, so enjoy the conversation, and I will be back afterwards. Please welcome Lucio Gregoretti, our international composer in residence.
Thank you. It's strange because watching this movie after 10 years, I realized that the music is only a very small thing of it. But
well, I thought it was very funny, actually. At the start of it, it's very sweeping and epic and, you know, operatic in a way.
Yes.
And as their lives get progressively miserable, you know, as time passes, it quiets down and becomes nothing but piano.
Piano music, yes. This was the main way we followed, the idea we followed with the music.
So you didn't traditionally, you know, begin composing for film. So how did you find yourself working with Lena and working on this project?
So this was the first time I was working with Lena Wertmüller, and we are still working together. And I'm very happy of it. And it happened, we did this music, we are two composers. We're working on this music, as you probably saw by the title. The other one is a man whose name is Italo Greco, but he was called Lilly, his nickname, and he passed away last October. And for me, it's very sad to know. And we were working together with Lena until October. Altogether, she has a very special way to work with music, because we were, and I am now, I hope for a long time more, requested to work with her on the music, on a keyboard at her home, and she was telling, "No, this note I don't like, please do the other one." So this was the regular way we spent a lot of time together, and it was beautiful to be together, the three of us.
Do you prefer working on something that way, having the director so involved in critiquing the music as you're writing it?
I don't know. This is Lena Wertmüller is a special person, so it's not usual that a director that does this way. But I actually worked a lot with her in the last 10 years. We did two movies only, plus this one, but we did a lot in theater, like three or four musical comedies and a couple of theater play, and it was great because she likes to sing, she likes to write lyrics. Also in this movie, there is her voice singing in the scene when the prince is with a prostitute and put the pearl on the head. There is a voice like singing like, yes, Marlene Dietrich, she likes a lot of this kind of, and she was singing because she has this deep voice. But it's nice because I remember that when we was in the recording studio ready to record Lina singing this song, Lily and I, in the morning, realized, oh, we didn't make the song for Lina. And she will be very, very upset. So I said, it's my turn, and I skipped the lunch, and in the recording studio I arranged this small song. Lily wrote the words because his wife was German, so he knew a little of German, and we arranged this. And she arrived and said, okay, let me sing it. So she's a very special person, and I think it comes from his movies.
How is composing a score for a film different than the way you wrote music previously to working on this?
Oh, it's complete. You mean different from when I wrote my composition?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
it's very difficult because I don't. In this case, composing music for a film, I have to avoid to follow my ideas, and I have to try to get in the director's idea and to follow, and to try to help the director to express his or her own ideas. So it's very different, but it's very challenging, and I like it. And then it's a pleasure at the end. With Lina, everything is more difficult than with anybody else because she always wants to cut music and to change. And I think it comes by the fact she was assistant in Federico Fellini, with Federico Fellini in the movie Otto e Mezzo, is in Italian, I don't know, eight and a half. And she always told us that Fellini had, there is a final scene with a music, with a kind of march by Nino Rota, and Fellini was ready with three or four alternatives of music, and this impressed Lina a lot. So she often want to have a couple of alternatives for every scene of the movie, which is crazy because it's really because we have our energy, we can write 10 pieces of music. If you have to compose 40 pieces of music, of course, not all the 40s come very well, even the recording. So I often listen to the bad version, or maybe she wants to change only a couple of notes. So it's not easy, actually.
How many pieces of music did you have to compose for this film?
Oh, I don't remember. There are also some pieces by Debussy, played on the piano, and some Mozart. I mean, a lot of music, but only a small part of it came in the movie, actually.
At what point did Lina bring you onto the project? Was the film, had it been finished? Was there a final cut? Or were they still filming when she brought you in to sort of get an idea, the feel of the film?
In this case, at the end, I came in with Lina just by chance, because my colleague Lily was ill at the time. But the film should be finished. They had started to edit, so it was the music.
It had all been shot.
Yes. And then I came to help them, and we are still together after 12 years, and I'm very happy. And but usually I see the movie at the end when they shot already. The idea is always to have a script. I usually have the script, I read it more or less, but then for many reasons, since we all have something else to do, and also because at the end a film is very different, I'm at least in my experience, it's very different from the one you read on the script. So the usual time to get involved is like 2 months before the film is ready, so a composer for a film has to be quick, except for a couple of things that are played And so the idea, when there are music live in the movie, one way is to compose before the piece that will be played. Another way is to play something and then to make something similar to what was played. So, but usually it's like 2 months before the film is ready.
So what gave you the idea for the simplistic piano? Because that's yes, very dominant throughout this whole thing. Lena.
Yes. She wanted the first part very rich with the orchestra, and then slowly getting smaller. And there's the young girl, the small girl, which is at the beginning in the movie, the young Nunziata, she's actually Lena's daughter. And she was like 6'4", I don't remember. And when she was born, 6 years ago, more or less, since Lena has a big, beautiful villa in the north of Italy where we used to go often to work and to spend a lot of time, and there is a guest book where every guest, and she has, beside me, important guests often. Every one of them leave a sign or a wish to this book, and on this book there were a couple of music notes by Lily, my friend co-composer, that he wrote when the child was born, the little, and there was the two notes. The initial notes of the main theme, ta-ri-ra-ri, with the word bien arrivé, which means welcome in French. So, and they, since the, it's a story about an adoption, and so they decided to take this signature for the main theme of the movie, and then we developed it, and so there are. I'm kind of touched by watching this.
Well, it's a great film, and it, you know, incredibly hard to find. So it was very special that we were able to bring it here.
Problem, yes.
How much of this was you playing on piano? Or?
No, it was more my colleague.
It was.
He was a great pianist. In addition to, he has been a producer mainly. He was older than me, like 30 years older, and he always said about himself, "I'm not a composer. I'm just a producer. I find good things in people. I get it out." But he was a composer and he was a great pianist.
How did the two of you come to start working together originally?
Excuse me?
How did the two of you start to work together originally?
For this film.
Oh, this was the first collaboration.
This was the first time. Yes, because he had a very bad illness, and he found it. It was looking for somebody to substitute him, and we knew each other, but we never worked together before. And then so he called me, and I got into the project, and it was very. I was very happy of it. Even if I discovered this way to work, which is very special,
right,
and very demanding.
You also just did something with Margaret von Trotta for television. Was it Italian television?
Yes, but it was after that.
It was after this. It was 2012?
2011 or 12, yes, very recently. And it's a shame that I could not see yet the movie you are going to present, this Anna Arendt.
Anna Arendt, that will be playing in the Jewish Film Festival. Look out for that. How was that any difference, going something for a television program versus a feature-length film?
No. I mean, not for with Margarete von Trotta and not with Lena Wertmüller. They both are such a film imprinting that I wouldn't say there is any difference. There was a difference working with Lena or with Margarete, definitely, of course. Because as I saw, with Lena I have to spend the whole day at her home, and with Margarete it's different. And she was in Germany when I was working, so a different way.
Questions from people in the audience? Bring the mic around.
Yes, her films were very popular here in the 70s, and then I always wondered what happened to her. They weren't, I don't know what she was doing for almost, 20, 30 years. I mean, if I'm incorrect, her films were not brought to this country, or her further work, I believe. And there was a big gap in time. Then I heard about this movie. I remember many years ago, I don't think it played in many theaters. Can you comment on that? Am I correct about that? Or yes, what was she doing during all that other time?
Until from Seven Beauties, I think, is from like 1970-something. She did some film like Swept Away. Some of them were also played here. And I don't know, she's continued doing films and theater play and theater thing. I think this one maybe is most... It became popular again because of Sophia Loren, probably Giancarlo Giannini. But she continued making films. I don't know. Sometimes she said, I did like, but I do not remember the number, but like more than 30. So I think this...
Is it that they were not brought here? Because I don't remember seeing them.
Probably. I don't know the reason.
Well, the reason you didn't see this is because it was broadcast on Italian television. This never received any kind of United States theatrical distribution whatsoever. And funny enough, we mentioned briefly how it was so tough to find a version of this with English subtitles. We wound up tracking one down through an Australian film festival that's sponsored by the coffee company Lavazza. Apparently, Lavazza sponsors an Italian film festival in Australia every year and has since 2002. And they played this their first year for their 2002-2003 season. So, you know, it is interesting, but her films did not particularly receive a ton of U.S. distribution, which is unfortunate if you've seen them. Do we have another question?
Yes, I saw the name Massimo Wertheimer.
Yes.
On screen. Who is he? Is he related to Lina?
Yes, he's the son of Lina's brother, and he's a very good actor.
Oh, I see. I have a feeling.
He does mainly theater. He's the one who married Nunziata.
That was Massimo.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, and he's a very good actor, but he doesn't want to work with Lina anymore because... No, really. No. She had a crisis like 3-4 days, years ago. I was there, and he decided, I don't want to have this. Such a big name on me, I am myself.
Congratulations for the score. I'm curious, I have two questions. One is, how many musicians have been in orchestra? I'm curious, how big was the orchestra?
A small one, as usually we do, because there are like 11 to 13 strings player, and an oboe, and a horn. And then we usually double or triple the record, overdub the strings, so it looks like...
Did you have any scenes that you thought differently than Lina? You would score this way and she would think differently, and did you fight for that, or how did you resolve that?
Almost all the scenes. Yes, because she has a very rough way to use, and when in the final part of the film edition, which is the mix, she always changed something. Even in the main titles, there is a cut on the music, which seems, for me, sounds like an error, because she wanted to get a sync in a certain point at the last moment. So. And there is a kind of dramatical music she puts for the rats eating the grain, and then in another moment, which I don't find appropriate, and I also find that too much piano. So many things. It's often a fight, but she knows what she wants. So,
okay, we're a little concerned about the weather, so we're going to do maybe one more question.
Can you just tell us a little about who wrote the script, or where she got the script from, or who conceived the notion to do this movie and then bring Lina Wertheimer into this, or did she generate it?
No, it's from a novel by a woman, a Neapolitan writer, who only wrote this novel, which was very successful. And so Lina wrote the novel. And this writer sent the novel to Lina, as many people does with directors. And Lina, by chance, started to read, and she liked it, and they made the movie. Probably Sophia Loren was interesting too. They proposed the film to Sophia Loren, and she found a good character for her, I think. But it comes from a novel.
Lucio, thanks so much.
Thank you. All. Thank you very much.
That was our JBFC composer in residence, Lucio Gregoretti, and I speaking about the work he did on Lena Wertmuller's 2001 film, Francesca Annunziata. Lucio will be back this Wednesday, March 20th, to introduce a very special screening of Federico Fellini's Amarcord. This is a special Italian night screening of the film to celebrate the Italian language, so we are going no subtitles for the film. No English is going to be spoken whatsoever for the screening. So Lucio is going to do the intro entirely Italian. The film is going to be just the Italian language track. It's going to be a great night. If you speak Italian or you're in Italian classes or anything like that, definitely come out to the Burns. It's a great film for something like this. Even if you're not fluent in the language, it's such a colorful, boisterous film that, you know, it sort of transcends language in its own ways at times. So it'll still be easy enough to follow. It'll still be a lot of fun. Again, that's this Wednesday, March 20th at 7:15 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at the box office, or you can buy online at www.burnsfilmcenter.org. That's going to do it for this episode. If you'd like to get a hold of me, I can be reached at podcast@burnsfilmcenter.org. For more information about this episode and every other episode of JBFC Podcast, you can visit our website, podcast.burnsfilmcenter.org. And you can also subscribe to the show in iTunes. Every single episode is available there, as well as the website. If you do subscribe in iTunes, please feel free to rate and review while you're there. It increases the show's profile in the iTunes store and increases the visibility to people looking for other film-related podcasts. For any other ticketing information, membership information, or education information, please visit our website, www.burnsfilmcenter.org. That's going to do it for me. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin, and you've been listening to JBFC Podcast.